Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like history, the visual arts, communications, and comparative religion. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by philosopher David Kinney, an Omidyar postdoctoral fellow at the Santa Fe Institute, SFI, who is leading this new effort called Foundations and Applications of Humanities Analytics, which seeks to help new humanities scholars study culture through computational tools and complexity science. We're also joined by SFI external professor Simon DeDeo, a cognitive scientist at Carnegie Mellon University, who is co-leading this new NEH effort with David, along with Carrie Cohen, SFI's Director for Education. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is so exciting for me and for New Mexico that you all are starting this institute. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what exactly students can do when they participate in your institute, and also talk about what kind of new skills and knowledge you're bringing into New Mexico. Because as far as I know, none of the universities have these sorts of programs. This is not a current offering that graduate students in the humanities can pursue in our public universities.
So we've been given a grant, awarded a grant, I should say, from the National Endowment for the Humanities, which is the major federal funder of humanities research, to develop two educational offerings. The first is going to be an online course that aims to teach people the tools and the foundations of humanities analytics, which is sort of a broad category that includes using computational and quantitative approaches to study cultural artifacts that have been traditionally the domain of the humanities. Our intended audience for that online course are people getting their PhDs in a humanities subject. Having said that, that's just the core audience that we're always having in mind when we're designing the curriculum. That is not to say that that is the only person who could take and benefit from this course, whether it's, you know, a really enthusiastic undergraduate or a librarian, or maybe someone who's even, you know, an associate or full professor in the humanities or in the sciences, or maybe someone who works at a museum or an archive or anything like that. I think we could serve all those constituencies. That will then segue into our second main offering, which is going to be a week-long intensive in-person workshop, hopefully happening summers 2022, 2023. And then if we can make this more permanent rather than just the 3 years of grant funding that we have, on and on into the future, right? That'll happen at the Santa Fe Institute if such things are possible by then, which we all hope they will be. The online course serves as a prerequisite. If you complete the online course, you can apply to the workshop. If you're accepted, you can bring your own humanities analytics project to that workshop, and then we dive into it and sort of investigate it communally, and there'll be some great guest lectures that we'll bring in from both the humanities analytics space and just the humanities more broadly. There's a couple ways in which I think this particularly serves New Mexico. And the first of which is, you know, if you're a PhD student at any of the universities in New Mexico, we'd love to have you getting involved. You know, it's great to have local people coming up to SFI and sort of expanding that community. It's great to have sort of local allies and local people nearby that we can call on. By having the in-person workshops, we'll be bringing a bunch of really interesting people into the area and building up SFI, and the online coursework to do this too, really, building up the Santa Fe Institute in particular and New Mexico more broadly as a hub for this kind of work, because it is still early days in the development of humanities analytics as a field. And so the traditional hubs of excellence that might be out there on the East and West Coasts, there's still room to compete with those sorts of centers. And I think New Mexico can be well poised to do that.
So people who want to dip their toes in, get an overview, anybody who wants to can register with your online course. And it's going to be free. Am I right in understanding that?
Yes. And in fact, the in-person workshop is also free. We've been funded by a federal grant, and that's part of what they're funding. At no point are you taking on a financial obligation in any way by getting involved in this.
The course is a high-level course. We hope it's going to be a rigorous and pretty demanding thing. It's certainly the only course of its type in the country, if not the world. The other thing I'd say is I could think of four universities in the United States and Canada and the United Kingdom who are operating at this level, certainly none in the American Southwest. So this is, I think, one of the ways to put New Mexico on the map and a really nascent developing field. The other thing I'd say is there are spillover effects everywhere. The University of New Mexico, New Mexico State, New Mexico Tech. These are great institutions. They have strengths in the sciences, obviously in the humanities. But our hope here is that by bringing people in, nobody comes to Santa Fe or Albuquerque without spending at least a week. And so what we're expecting as well is giving people here a chance to interact with some of the best scholars around. The other thing I'd say is this online course is completely open. Anybody can sign up. As David mentioned, there's absolutely no financial obligation. While we were targeting academics, graduate students, one of the things that really surprised us is that we're going to have a lot of people who sign up for this course who I would say at the very least are underserved. People you would not expect were showing up to our classes, doing extraordinarily well.
And like you pointed out, that's really a regional issue. I mean, we don't have any sort of digital humanities consortium in this region, in the Southwest. It's been very hard for scholars to gather in this way. Craig and I talked to a communications professor out at ENMU who was doing this sort of big data analysis of the president's tweets by hand.
He was doing a linguistic and phrase analysis of 7,000 tweets by Donald Trump and trying to tease out the kinds of language that he was using. I was just thinking, if he had the sort of tools that you both are describing, Simon and David, I think he would have been able to tease out a lot of interesting patterns. This particular new effort for humanities scholars is at the Santa Fe Institute. For people that aren't familiar with the Santa Fe Institute itself, why is this such a good home for this program?
SFI is sort of the world leader for the study of complex systems. There's some other complex systems institutes out there, but Santa Fe definitely top of that list is a dedicated research center for complex systems. SFI was founded as this sort of spinoff from people from Los Alamos that wanted to do sort of more interdisciplinary work, again, in this sort of broad area of complex systems research that covers biology, ecology, also physics, economics, basically anything where sort of scale and networks are interacting, especially in sort of nonlinear ways, in ways that really need to be studied at those different levels of scales in order to really see what's so novel and so important about them. And I think just in virtue of the interdisciplinary nature of the questions, SFI has become a place where, unlike in a lot of universities, where because of the department structure, academics are kind of siloed into their disciplines, SFI just sort of in virtue of its mission, in virtue of the questions that it's asking, has to be sort of interdisciplinary from the start. It has to be the kind of place where a biologist, an economist, and a physicist can all work together and where that's facilitated and encouraged rather than discouraged, as it often is by the more traditional academic culture. And the reason I say all this is because I think the kinds of questions that are most interesting within the digital humanities space and humanities analytics space are also interdisciplinary by their very nature, right? They really can't be answered well unless you have someone from the computational background, someone from the humanities background, those people at least in the same room. Maybe they're not all authors on the paper. Maybe the two authors are both people whose PhDs are in English, but they're at least collaborating with someone who's more of an expert on the computational side. Or maybe it is two scientists, but they're writing this paper because they had a great conversation over coffee with a historian. That's the kind of thing that we can do at SFI that can be done in other places, but I don't know that it's being done quite as well, frankly, as it's being done in other places. That sounds very
somehow
arrogant.
They're not doing it. I don't know, David, right?
That's why I know the NEH was excited to work with us, in part because I think they see that potential. It's cool, I think, that New Mexico has something like that, where you've got people in Washington, D.C., coming to us and saying, we'd be really interested to work with you. So I think that's really great.
I think it's really exciting. I'm curious, SFI hasn't really had a focus on the humanities per se previously, right? It's been much more sort of rooted in inquiry in the sciences, right? What are these questions that you find so compelling in the digital humanities arena? And is that what inspired you to create an institute that focuses on applying these approaches to the humanities or to humanistic inquiry?
One thing I'd say is that at the Institute, we have had some tradition in the humanities, and that's in part because we have many amazing archaeologists and anthropologists who pass through. If you come to Santa Fe or to the American Southwest to study cultures that are indigenous to this region, either in the great past or in the contemporary world, you're listening to people, you're reading the transcripts of things that people said, you're listening to their stories. So I think there's always been this lurking in the background for the Institute, an attention to the lived experience of the world. That's always been there for us. This kind of collaboration, though, is certainly at a scale that we haven't seen before. And the kinds of questions that come up for us are psychological questions, at least for me, the ways in which we experience things, but experience these kind of irreducible objects. You know, out in Silicon Valley, people are modeling, studying the ways in which we read news feeds, the ways in which we tweet at each other. Studying literature, studying art, studying historical events, these things are really unique. They're real outliers. And so that's another thing I think that sits around for us in the Santa Fe Institute. David mentioned this word nonlinear. Nonlinearity is when you take an electric guitar and put it up against a speaker and everything goes out of control. And I think one of the things that the Institute has been really good at is drawing people's attention to the fact that extreme events, single things, single days in history can change everything. Finance people know this, right? 90% of the stock returns in the last 30 years came from like 10 days. So practitioners have known this. Scientists have tended to ignore it. I mean, again, not at the Institute. We've been drawing people's attention to this for years. But I think that's one of the reasons that this is a particularly good fit for us. Art and events, these things are singular. And the Institute has been trying to do science of the singular for many, many years.
Are there some real-world examples? I know we talked in the first segment about the Old Bailey, but I'm thinking now about singularities or these sort of nonlinear leverage events that can affect a complicated system so quickly and so drastically. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, maybe a respiratory virus.
I've heard there's a bug going around, Craig, yeah. Let me give you an example, Craig. I mean, this kind of singularity, another project we had going was on the French Revolution. So the French Revolution is explosive, right? This is 1789. It's on a completely different scale from the American Revolution. There were, I don't know, 40 people involved in the American Revolution. There were at least 5,000, you know, founding fathers for them. They go further. They have a meeting and it lasts like 72 hours. Nobody sleeps. And by the end, they've dismantled a 1,000-year-old feudal system and are basically implementing some crazy philosophical system they read in a book. So things happen really, really fast. Some of the really basic features of parliamentary democracy, constitutional law, were baked in by literally whoever happened to show up. The patterns of that event resonate for hundreds of years later, but are constructed like a virus. It comes out of nowhere and it spreads literally across the world, for good or for ill.
And Simon, from what I know of your work on the French Revolution, in that paper, you're studying the relationship between rhetoric and persuasion, right? And whose rhetoric was taken up. You want to talk about a singular moment, the dynamic of being persuaded to abandon the French monarchy, to change your world is really cool. And it's the kind of insight that we'd hope a student taking this course could eventually get to the place where they could sort of find in their own area of sort of historical or literary significance.
And have modern tools to do that kind of work with.
Yeah, maybe being inspired to answer a question that I can't even think of right now that's in that ballpark. Understand the math, maybe that 50% more that makes them think, you know, hey, here's a question I could ask in my research and answer in my research that would be on the same level of sort of really treating what I'm looking at as a complex system.
Let me just ask real quickly, when can students start registering for the online course?
So we do not have a firm registration date yet, but it will be coming soon. In the meantime, you can go to santafe.edu/FAHA. And you can just keep checking that. But we're hoping to go live. Simon can correct me if I'm wrong, but we are hoping to go live with the course July 1st, 2021.
Fantastic. So make your summer plans now, right?
Yeah.
And being in New Mexico, hey, free things are awesome. If it's free, everybody shows up. As David was saying, if you would like more information about this educational program at SFI, you can visit santafe.edu/FAHA. You have been listening to Augmented Humanity, which is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.
So I spend my waking life just driving around in circles, up and down the same old city streets. I never dreamed that I would be